And we're going to blow the shofar for you. And you all just know I love this music right here. Oh, yeah. Everybody, this is Khalid Sefnapa-Nia El, and Alatia, and a host of others. Listen.
There have been so many things that held us down, but now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go, and where we'll end up, I don't know. But we don't let nothing hold us back. We're putting ourselves together, we're polishing up our actions. If you've ever been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore.
If you try, they're lonely. Push you aside. I see my brothers in the line with me tonight on this broadcast night tonight with BBS Radio audience. I am Khalid Sefnapa-Nia-El, and I have many, many guests here tonight, and we are thankful for you and you and you and BBS Radio audience, and for those of you who are also in the Royal Priesthood Bible Prayer and Fellowship Room. I grant you biddings, but listen to this. I just want one more bar of this feed on mine.
And if you're trying to make it, they only push you aside. They really don't have nowhere to go. Ask them where they're going.
And they don't know. All right, everybody. Thank you for coming in tonight to the Royal Priesthood Bible Prayer Fellowship Room, and I am your host, Khalid Sefnapa-Nia-El, and I want to start off by thanking my co-host and usually running this ship for us tonight on this broadcast, Alatia Hanan Yehuda Bey, as well as I have a special guest tonight, one of my brothers who has been a brother for me and to me for a number of years. I see he's also in the room with us tonight, so that's going to be some added ammunition to what we're discussing tonight. And let me thank the wonderful sister. I don't know your name. I didn't catch your name. I just came in as you were making your donation, I want to say to you, thank you so much to keep this work and this word going forward and forth by making your kind donation to this work and to me. So thank you very much. We don't charge, of course. That is not what we do. We don't charge. There are a lot of people out there that charge lots of money to bring the kind of information that Alatia and I bring, but we have decided that we are doing this as a labor of love because the planet is ascending. I have some YouTube videos out there that are dealing with the very fact that we are in an ascension process. I'm going to dig right in tonight into the Bible passages that I've selected tonight that I think are very pertinent and relative. My pastor has told me that often I am a little brass, if you will, caustic in my speech, and sometimes I say things a little rough, and he tells me quite often that I just don't know how to say things. It's not what I say, but it's how I say it. So if I come across and I'm offensive to you, know that it is not my intent to offend you, but it is not my intent more so to distort truth. My purpose and my calling is to bring truth and to help you. So if I seem a little brash or acoustic or abrasive in my speech, it's not my heart, it's my head, okay? All right, so thank you. So I'm going to jump right in tonight to the 18th chapter. Dr. Ford, how are you doing?
Fine, sir.
All right. Bishop out of Louisiana, how are you doing? I just saw you come in. You're on mute, but I'm taking you off mute. I know you've had a rough week in revival, but how's it going down there, man?
I'm good. Just a lot of water.
Just a lot of water. I heard. I also heard about the drowning that took place down there in Ruston. Of course, our sympathy and condolences go out to that family. If there were more, we certainly extend our condolences to them as well. So do you have a life jacket or rain suit? What, are you okay down there, man?
Yeah, I got a John Doe boat.
All right. Well, we're going to deal with the 18th chapter tonight. We're going to talk a little bit about this collapse, and I want to get right into it because I don't want to waste a lot of time. So I have a great theologian online with us tonight that's going to assist us in this passage as well. His keen eye and astute hermeneutics, interpretations, and he understands the four levels of interpretation of Scripture. He's joined us tonight to help us out in case we get stuck in some kind of bind here. But I'm going to start reading here, and I'm going to do some extensive reading, so just listen to this, if you will. And
Khalif.
Yes.
Alatia, mute me out. Mute me out.
Mute you out? Okay.
All right,
he's out. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having a great power. And the earth was lightened with his glory, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, double repeat, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants, listen, and the merchants of the earth, very important to notice that it talks about politics and mixing economics, politics, the kings of the earth have committed fornication. Now we're talking about something spiritual here. And the merchant of the earth, we're talking about something economic here, are waxing rich to the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. Very important. We've got to identify who this her is and who these people are that are admonished to come out, that you be not partakers of a sin, that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works. In the cup she has filled to her double. Listen to that. How much she had glorified herself and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her, for she said in her heart, I sit as a queen. I sit a queen, rather, pardon me. And I am no widow. I shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plague come in one day. Listen, that's very important. Death and mourning and famine. And she shall utterly burn with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judged her. And the kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, the great city Babylon, that mighty city. For in 1 hour, listen, one day, 1 hour, is judgment come. And the merchants, now watch this, I got to read through this and I'm almost there. Hold on, everyone. And the merchants of the earth, that's economic, shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth her merchandise anymore. The merchandise of gold, silver, precious stones, pearl, fine linen, purple, silk, scarlet, fine wood, and all manner of vessels of ivory, all manners vessels of the most precious wood, of brass, of iron, marble, cinnamon, odors, ointments, frankincense, wine and oil, fine flour, wheat, and beast, and sheep, and horses, and chariots, and slaves. Now listen to this. And souls of men. Wow. How is this possible that economics, politics, kings, merchandise, merchants, and commodities, goods and services are mixed with souls of men in this barter or in this exchange? Listen carefully. Listen carefully. And the fruit of that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee. And all things were dainty and goodly and departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things, which were made rich by her, stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, alas, alas, that great city that now was a woman, now it's a city. We know we're dealing with imagery here. We're dealing with metaphors. You cannot take this literally because we see the symbology here or the symbolism here. So we need to decode this, and we're going to try to do this for you. And we're going to get to it in just a moment. That was clothed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. Now watch this. Verse 17. For in 1 hour, so great riches come to naught. And every shipmaster, now we've gone into the maritime world. We've gone into the law of the holy seas, S-E-E-S, maritime laws, and cried when they saw the smoke of a burning scene, what city is like unto this great city? And they shall cast dust. Now, I think I'm going to stop there. I could continue to read, but my point here now that I want to make to you is that we're looking at a system that involves a lot of different things. It involves merchandise. It involves politics. It involves economics. It involves spirituality. And it also has something to do with the souls of men. It has something to do with spirituality. It has something to do with how certain people are understanding certain principles. And based on their understanding of these principles, or should I say laws, that they are dealing with souls in terms of merchandise. Now, the system that we're dealing with, we know that this system is called Mystery Babylon. So that means that the answer is there, but it's just a mystery. We have to pull the cover back to see exactly what we're looking at, because it is a mystery that we have and we can solve. What is this system that we're in? Now, tragedy is a lot of people are in this system and don't even realize or recognize that they are in this system, and that's the tragedy. And I say that with all sensitivity. I say that with all the compassion I can muster, with every nerve in my spiritual being and physical being and emotional being. I say that there are people who are in this system and do not realize that they are in this system. They've been caught. They've been deceived, grossly deceived, in gross deception, not understanding that we're talking about maritime law. We're talking about the law of the holy seas, S-E-E. Write that word down. Look it up. We're talking about people that have been seduced on one end by deception inside of this system. And we're also talking about people who have seduced on the other side, people into the system full well knowing what they have done and are doing inside of the system. Now, let me tell you where this system lies. Now, I think the text has been explicit enough and clear enough for you to understand that this is talking about three things in particular. One, it's talking about religion. That's the big one. It's talking about religion, a religious system. When we talk about this system, we're talking about something that is religious. Secondly, we're talking about law. And inside of law, I am including maritime law or the law of the high seas. Now, Aladia, you can help me out here because you have clarity of articulation. And the thoughts are very clear in your mind, sometimes clearer than they are in mine, in terms of expressing and explaining the law of the holy seas and this maritime law that we're under. So I'm going to pause here for a moment because I only gave two. I gave religion and I gave law. And there's something here that has to do with science. And I'm going to try to deal with religion, but I want you to talk a little bit about how we are under maritime law now and what that means.
Okay, thank you. I'll make it as simple as possible. Maritime law is something that the British Crown brought here to not only for economic purposes, but also to enslave the God's people, sovereigns. Maritime law has to do with the sovereign being coming out of their mother's birthing waters, the birth canal. Where does a ship pull up to and dock at a canal? And so when you come through your mother's waters, through the birth canal, that is how, through admiralty law, they set up that they own you because your birth certificate is a bill of lading, if you will, ownership.
And if I may add, without interrupting, changing your thoughts, that if you would look at your birth certificates at the bottom, it will have a banknote on it of one of three banks. And the banknote is attached to your birth. So that you're understanding something in terms of law. And let me add one other thing, too, since she mentioned admiralty law, which we are under. I want to give you four papal bills, or bulls, as they call them, that the property, possessions, persons, everything on this planet belongs to a single entity. And all corporations are owned, listen to me carefully, all corporations are owned by a single solitary entity. And if you have a birth certificate, you are a corporate fiction.
Yep.
You are a straw person. You are actually owned. And if you look carefully and decode your birth certificate, you will see that there is a line there that says your mother was an informant. And I forget exactly what line it is because I haven't looked at my birth certificate in some time. But it is there. I think it's around line 17 or 18 on mine. I don't know where it would be on yours. But someone has laid a claim to you by way of this admiralty law or law of the holy seas. Now, there are four papal bulls or bills that you need to look up. First one was in 1305. And that papal bull is Unum Sanctum. And that was by Boniface, Pope Boniface. And then there's another papal bull or bill. And that papal bull or bill is Romantis Pontifex. And then the third one is Attorney Regis. Now, if you have anything that's registered, a car, a marriage license, anything that has to be registered through a registrar, Attorney Regis claims ownership to anything that's registered. The fourth one and final is convocation. Now, those four papal bills gives this particular entity the sole ownership of everything, every person, all lands is claimed by a single solitary entity. We're talking about one system. Now, what you've got to understand with this, when you're looking at this, is that as this entity has laid claim, it uses words to cast spells. It uses words to cast spells. For an example, what are you talking about? If you go to a court of law, and you first thing that they say to you is, for the record, state your name. Well, if you say what the name is on the birth certificate, you have just entered into a spell, because the name, or the word name, doesn't mean the same thing to the entity you to which you're speaking as it means to you. Name means no man in Latin. You're looking at legally language. Claim that you're no man. And when you enter into a courtroom, you've just entered into an ecclesiastical church setting with a priest of Baal or a priest of Saturn. He's wearing a black robe. And he's on his square. He's in the shit. You have to go through the gate with the attorney and the defense attorney or the prosecutor. You're stepping inside the shit now as either a plaintiff or a respondent.
Yep.
And you're with the priest of Baal who's sitting on the bench, and you have to make bail that's regulated by the bar. The bench, the bar, the bail, the bailiff, or the bank. All the same words. So, but because you don't understand legally language, you're thinking that bank means one thing, but banks mean the thing that holds the currency in the riverbed. And so you're thinking that name means, okay, this is what my mother called me. No, it means you are stating that you are no man. Now, that is the system that you're in legally. Now, you may not know it. You may argue with it. But if you do your due diligence on it and search it out, you will find out that what we're saying is indeed the truth, that you are considered as currency, and that there's actually bond bank paper on your birth certificate, and that there is a particular bank, one of three, that has laid claim to you as their sole individual property. That's why your children can become wards of the state.
To a marriage license, yes.
And your marriage license.
Because they're a product of that union, yes.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, I cut you off.
No, you're fine. I mean, you might also mention to them, if you want to look further to support evidence of what you're saying, look at your checking account. It's all in capital letters, but look down at your signature line. Do you sign your name in all capital letters? No. So that's part of the corporate fiction, even in your checking account.
But actually, if you were able to magnify the line on which you sign your name, it's not a line, though the words sound
like. Yeah.
So my point is that the economics are tied to you. Someone has laid claim to you, and I'll repeat this again. Unum Sanctum, Romantis Pontifex, or Pontifex Romantis. I get it mixed up sometimes. I transpose those two words. Then Attorney Regis, which has to do with the crown or the register. Mm. And then finally, convocation, which gives a single entity the right, or to them, they have claimed every person, property, and possession on the planet as their sole property, or the they are the sole owners. Now, that's law. The second piece is science. It's a little bit more difficult. The second level of deception is science. But let me jump to religion, because this is where we are in this Bible. What you're looking at as you decode this Bible, you're looking at a collapse here, a great collapse. Now, I didn't write this. I did not write this collapse, but what you have just witnessed in your hearing, that long passage of scripture that I read, is based upon a collapse of this system that we're talking about, of the deception, the gross deception of law, science, and religion. It will collapse. Now, the admonition in verse number 4 is for my people to come out of her and receive not of her plagues. So, now, this is a hard pill, because the other day my son talked to me about some of the things that we're talking about. He said, we see, and the young people see, and this is what I was told by some of the young people. They said, we see what you're talking about, but we don't know what we're going to do when we come out. What do we do? What does it look like? What does life look like after this? Well, I come to tell you this. This is what I come to say. It is getting ready to collapse. How do I know that? Because, first of all, I just read it. Now it becomes a matter of when is it going to collapse. Well, let's stay with religion. In Deuteronomy 15, in Leviticus 25, as well as Exodus, it talks about something called the Shemitah. Shemitah, S-H-E-M-I-T-A-H. And that word means collapse. It means release. And it happens every 7 years. Every 7 years, based on this Bible, the people who were called, the children of Israel, were supposed to allow all debts, as well as the land, to lie barren in the seventh year, because it was to have what is called a smitah, or a release, or collapse, or relax. Now, here's the amazing thing, people. Try to follow me if you can. This is so precise that since 1966, and then 1973, 1980, 1987, 1994, 2001, 2008, this thing is 100% accurate. Someone is watching this Shemitah from 1966. You can measure it. 1973, you can measure it. You can measure it in 1980. You can measure it in 1987 when we had Black Monday. Black Monday happened exactly to the date. And we're going to talk about Elul, E-L-U-L, 29. It happened on the September the 29th, the exact day, 1987, 1994. Then 2001, Elul, 29 again. 2008, Elul, 29. Right at the end of the 7 year period, on the Elul, the release, we had a 777 percentage drop in the stock market. 2001, of course, you know, we had the stock market crash along with 9/11. 1987, as we said, we know we had the Black Monday. We had the oil embargo. We had the depression of 1980. We had the gas rations. If you go back to 1970, from 1966 to 1973, where we had the gas rations. Someone is watching this cycle that's in control of your economics. It is called a Shemitah. It is called a collapse. Now, what makes this year, 2015, just 7 years after 2008, and we saw the real estate bubble burst and the collapse of the stock market at 777% drop, what makes this 7 year period so special is that we have three things happening all at the same time. And all of these are biblical. But they are also science. They're based upon science. And this is where religious people get in trouble. And I was one of those. So I'm not trying to offend anyone that's religious, because I was taught to stay away from these laws, because the people who understand these laws never wanted you to understand these laws of what they're doing. For an example, let me give you one quick example. Passover happens right at the vernal equinox of spring, when the earth is coming out of the frigid winter cycle of frozen ground, where the ground is too cold to produce crops. But as the sun passes over the equator at the vernal equinox, it's Passover. It's happening in conjunction or correspondence or in tandem with the laws of the cosmos. At the very point that they have Passover is the very point that the earth now becomes warm enough and farmers get out their seed and begin to plow, because the earth has heated up. The earth has warmed to the degree that now the earth is ready to receive the seed, so that the temperature is warm enough to cause the seed to germinate. And I can go through all of the seven feasts. All of these seven feasts are based upon cosmic precession, are based upon cosmic scientific natural phenomena. Each one in your Bible, it's too expository to be argued, Harry Ford would say. It's too expository to be argued. We can show it with pinpoint precision. Now, what makes this particular Smitah so important is that it is a 7 times 7, and 7 times 7 is 49, which means that we are in a jubilee, Leviticus 25. Every 50 years is a jubilee. Pentecost is 50 days after the feast of a Passover, 50 days after Pentecost, marking it precise. So we are in a jubilee cycle. Jubilee means that everything has to go free. Everything is to be set free. All slaves are to be set free. All debts are to be canceled. Everything is to be wiped clean, so forth and et cetera. So we're in a Smitah that is a 7-year cycle, plus now we're in a Smitah that is a 7 times 7, which makes it a super Smitah or Jubilee. But there's something else that's happening. There's also, we're in a 70 times 7, which is 490. So we're in a super Smitah that has something to do with the cosmos. Now remember, never disconnect these feasts and these celebrations from the energies that are affecting this planet. It would be ludicrous. You would be foolish, either an imbecile or an idiot, and I'm not trying to insult anybody, to think that you can live on this planet and not be affected by winter, spring, summer, and fall. That would just be ludicrous. So these forces of nature, as God asked Job, can you set the dominions upon the earth? He asked Job a question. Do you know the ordinances of heaven? Meaning the precession of the sun in its ecliptic, as the earth is tilted at 23.5 degrees, moving in counterclockwise fashion around the sun, bringing about the changes of seasons and bringing about the different effects. He asked Job, he said to Job, can you set their dominion? Can you tell what impact, influences that these powers and these forces will have upon the earth? The people that we're talking about that run the system that we just read to you earlier understand these laws, and they use them and manipulate them to do everything that we read in that text in order to regulate government, in order to regulate economics, in order to even regulate spirituality, in order to regulate, as we just read, even your soul, because your soul carries a particular vibration and a particular frequency that is attuned to whether you realize it or not. Let me just give you one quick way to understand how your brainwave is tied to this frequency that we're talking about in the cosmos. The cosmos, or the earth, has a frequency It's called Schumann's resonance, SR. Schumann resonance was measured at 7.83. 7 plus 8, of course, is 15. 15 plus 3 is 18. 18 is 1 plus 8 is 9. Now watch that number, 9. That's Schumann's resonance, the pulse beat of the earth. That so happens to be the frequency of the brain, of your brain waves. 7.83 is tied to the earth. The earth's vibration is tied to your brainwave. That number 9 is also tied to you in more intimate ways. It's tied to you because your mother carries you 9 months in a normal gestation period. It's tied to you because the sun moves in 360-degree circuit around the constellations. And 360, 3 plus 6 is 9. The moon is 2,160 miles wide. 2 plus 1 is 3 plus 6 is 9. You are tied intimately with your brainwave frequency, the Earth's pulse, to the cosmos, and there's nothing you can do about it. It's actual science. So now, the people that understand this do not want you to understand what we are saying here, because they don't want you to ever become empowered to release yourself from the grip that they have on you, meaning that they want a prison planet and a slave population. So now I'm taking a big risk here. This system that is about to collapse is a smita, but it's not only a 7-year smita, but it's also a 7x7 smita. But it's also a 70 times 7. Now, that should smack bells and ring bells in the minds of every theologian that listens to me, because Daniel 9 and 24 or 23 talks about a 70-week period. We are here, people. We're here. But remember now, it's tied. All of those feasts and those times were tied to the creation that was created by the Creator. Satan did not create the creation. These laws that are regulating the creation were set in place by an omniscient creator who knows all. And he tells us to know. So now this Mita, so far we've seen this collapse that we're looking at, and we've seen the accuracy of this 100% from 1966, and I can take you all the way back to 1492. Actually, I can take you all the way back to Moses 3,000 years ago, and I can show you the accuracy of this smita. But now here's the final thing that you need to know about this collapse, and this is what makes it really phenomenal. Never before in the history of mankind, since we've been marking and measuring and observing this, has a smita, a biblical smita, 7, occurred on the biblical tetrad or blood moons. Never before in history. And this tetrad that started in 2014 in April, and then October, and then April of 2015 on the 4th of April, this final blood moon, of which those who read their Bibles encode and understand that the Christ of Scripture, it is said that when he was crucified, the sun refused to shine from the 6th to the 9th hour, and the moon turned to blood. We are here, people. This September the 28th, this particular blood moon will be a supermoon, 19 times larger, intensifying, sending a tremendous signal to those who are paying attention. Now, let me just say this, and I'm going to stop. That in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 14, he said he placed these lights in the heavens or in the firmaments. He placed them there for signs and seasons. And that word is kind of ambiguous, if you will. It's kind of not only ambiguous, but it's kind of equivocal in the English. Let me tell you exactly what it means in the original text. It means an appointed time. God has a calendar with an appointed time that he's going to do things. For an example, Christ showed up on Passover. That was an appointed time. Holy Spirit, those of you who are religionists, fell on Pentecost. That was a feast. It was an appointed time. The feast that we're talking about now is the feast of Sukkot in Elul, September, will be the Shemitah like never before. Could this be? Could this be? Could this very well be what we read to you tonight? And if so, what must we do? I'm going to pause for a moment because there is something that we are supposed to do. There is something that we have to do. And I say this, and I really will pause. Psalms 19 says, beginning in verse 1, the heavens declare the glory. The firmament show forth its handiwork. Day unto day utter its speech. Listen. Day unto day utter its speech. The firmament, the lights, the stars, the moons, the orbs, the interplanetary motive of the nebula, the precession of the equinox, the luminous bodies, the celestial orbs of light. Listen to it. It says, day unto day utter his speech, night unto night knowledge. Now listen, there's no language on earth where their voice is not heard. There's no language on earth where their voice is not heard. They're speaking. They were placed there by the Most High to let us know his appointed times. There are people who know this. We've not paid attention, but you can validate what I've just said. Beginning in 1966, all the way to 2008. Let's watch and see what happens in 2015, 7 years after 2008, when we have this quadruple effect of a Shemitah, and then a 7x7 Shemitah, and then a 70x7, and then falling on the Tetrad blood moons, four blood moons that occur. Tetrad meaning falling on those feast days. Wow. I think I've said a mouthful. I'm going to wait. I'll open up the Q&A now. I want Dr. Ford to come in now and let him have something, then open up the Q&A. Dr. Ford.
Yes, Dr. Pastor.
Q&A session started.
Pastor Humphrey?
Yes, go ahead, sir. I'm waiting on you. I know your mind, so just start speaking.
All right. I am really and truly a student of it. I am soaking all of this in, and I am trying to tie in this prophetic word to identity. So I am really on here as a student. So I am struggling with identity, and now I am trying to tie in identity with this prophetic word that you now speak. The problem that I am having is a question too. If in fact the Jews over in Israel that we know as the Jews, it is a scientific fact, through white and German and Jewish scientists have published that the original authentic Jews are a group of Jewish people. I think they're outside of Ethiopia, and I think one of the names that they call them is Palasha Jews. I am struggling with that, and how do we get our people to identify with who they are? And when you preach it in a pulpit, either people think that you are crazy or black people cannot see their history, or they cannot see that much color in the pages of the Bible, I want to know, which would probably take this discussion backwards, but I want to know, how do you deal with our people? You preach to them and you tell them that Jewish people, the real authentic Jewish people, look like you, and they do not believe you because they have this image of this European the Jew, and that is what they're thinking and their heart is fixed on. So how do you deal with that and then reconcile that to this prophetic word that you just now spoke?
Well, you know, that is, believe it or not, a magnificent question. It does take us away from the discussion somewhat, but let me curve it back into the discussion, because, number one, there is a group of people, and I've written a book titled My Nigger, and of course, the first people to come up with a concept or to evolve with the concept of God were the people that called that word N-G-R, Nigger. There were no vowels. A group of people decided to make that word so painful through a process of oppression that now not only the people who invented this concept of God and named it NGR, Nigger, hate this word, but the people who obviously who invaded and took this hate it. Now, the other thing is that the people with whom you refer, they are the only people in the world with an identity that's given to them that is false. And by the way, they are at the brunt of the oppressive end in this country now and in some other places, even in Israel right now as we speak. These people that you refer to, the philosopher Jews, which are not only, well, first of all, the word Jew is a misnomer. It's God didn't have anybody named Jews. I mean, Abraham was a Hebrew.
There's okay. J's again.
And and this takes us into another discussion, if we are academic and scholarly, about who these Hebrew people are, it leads us into another discussion. But let me curve this back into the discussion that we're talking about. These people are so critical to the ascension of the planet that they have been targeted by these people you call Jews, that you just so eloquently stated there is scientific, and the geneticists have proven that these people have no genome or no gene tied to Palestine.
Khazaria.
They are people who converted to a religion in resistance to Islam and to Christianity. And they did so around 740 A.D. They are people that are from the kingdom of Khazaria. Mm-hmm. And there are books out there that deal with this. One of the ones that go back to 1970 is Arthur Koestler's The 13th Tribe, and another one more recently by a UC Berkeley professor and a professor of the University of Tel Aviv. He has a book, and I forget his name, but the title of the book is The Invention of the Jewish People. Mm. Now, if I go to the Bible, it's a very easy step for me because Revelations 3 and 9 says, those that say that they are Jews and lie. Mm. Revelation 2 and 9 and Revelation 3 and 9. But are of the synagogue of Satan. Now, that ties me right back into where our discussion is. When I say the synagogue of Satan, now I'm looking at a system that has enveloped the entire world that consists of religion, law, and science. And these people who understand all three of those entities have given to us a substitute, if you will, knowledge for the true knowledge that they withheld. And they understand this, and they are in charge of the Western world. They're in charge of the NFL, the NBA, They're in charge of the media. They're in charge of your money. They print your money. They're in charge of the Federal Reserve. They hold the bank note on your birth when you came out of your mother's canal.
They're in charge of the Vatican.
They bow to the Vatican.
They help create.
They bow to the Vatican. They bow to the Vatican. The tiara or the triple crown is Rome, the city in London, and Washington, D.C.
Yep.
And Evelyn Rothschild controls half of the wealth in the world. Now, how does one man who was actually a Bauer from East Germany, from Eastern Europe, his family controls half of the wealth in the world? And they have sophisticated networks. And so what you're looking at is a collapse of this system. And the system that we're in, even the church. Now, let me throw something in here about the church, because if you are a corporation, you are under the control of the Vatican. You are a Catholic entity, because the Catholic Church controls all corporations.
Correct.
Every last corporation on the planet. Now some nations are pulling away. They call the BRIC nation, Brazil, India, Russia, China, and South Africa. But the currency for the world, the global currency, has been the U.S. dollar. But these countries more and more, and this takes me into another kind of vein that's not really my expertise. It's more a logic kind of thing, and I'll let her have room to talk about it. But the global currency, we're looking at a collapse. That this is what I'm talking about. We're looking at a collapse, and it's slowly. It sometimes is so subtle that it's not observed. But if you stop and pay attention, you can see that we are in a collapsing culture, society in the West. They are getting ready to collapse the system. Some things are already in place. Now, Elijah, you go ahead and tell them what's in place.
Well, they've already set the whole scenario. That's why they're preparing people in a subliminal way with all the news media stories and special guests on saying that September is there's going to be this collapse of the financial system. And they've set the stage that, all these countries are going to the BRICS, and the AIIB Bank is going to, they're actually, the IMF announced last week that the yuan, which is the Chinese dollar, is going to become a extra reserve currency of the world. Do you realize what that will do overnight to the dollar? All countries are depegging from the dollar, which was how we done business to buy our oil. Every nation had to hold dollars in their portfolios in order, because it was the reserve currency that held the status through the Federal Reserve. That no longer is true. The Chinese own the Federal Reserve now. They issue their shortcomings. So you're getting ready to see some major collapse in all the financial sectors, and it has to be this way. Not only is it foretold, I see why. So that there's a new system that's waiting to come. But it could be scary in the process of that change.
Now, another thing that the Pope did, Pope Benedict.
Or Francis. Which
Pope
one
Francis,
about?
I'm sorry. Yeah, Pope Francis.
Francis of Assisi.
He has declared that December is the year of Jubilee. These are announcements that are indicators that point us to what we are discussing here tonight, that these people understand. Now, this is based upon something that is more powerful than religion. And I say that with all due respect. More powerful than religion, but not more powerful than spirituality. It's based upon cosmic occurrences. There's nothing we can do about what I've said previous nights about our sun pulling our solar system up the galactic plane, over the galactic equator, in the Milky Way. And I've tried to labor to help to make this as simple as I can. Just as the energies on the Earth changes when the sun crosses the equator on the Earth, as our sun is in a precession around the equinox that takes a 24,000-year process, 12,000 below this equator in the Milky Way,
at $12,000 above. Well, December the 21st, 2012, as I've said over and over again, we moved out of the age of Pisces into the age of Aquarius. We crossed over the galactic equator. The energies in our galaxy are going to be different. The Earth is speeding up. It's slowing down in its orbit around the sun as it swings out farther around the sun, but the Earth itself is spinning faster. As it spins faster, the frequency and vibrations are getting hotter, so the Earth expands. So the Earth now is becoming a star.